The question today is, what obligation does the husband have in the home? We'll look at some things. We've talked about the Bible order previously as far as the husband being head of the wife. And many times when we talk about the relationship in the home, usually what most preachers deal with is the fact just that the women submit, 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 submit. That's usually what they say. Well, the head has a greater responsibility, a greater obligation, and the husband has a greater obligation than even the wife in the home, because he's the head of the house, and God's going to hold him responsible for that. I have about four things that I'd like to say, I believe, would be from the Bible that would tell us what is the husband's obligation in the home. First of all, he's to be a lover of his wife. He'll be a lover of his wife. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And when I say lover of his wife, it's not talking about just having sex. You see, there's not a real wife who doesn't like loving. In other words, we're living in a perverted world today, and look at it as the woman being the one to instigate love. But the Bible says the husband is to love her. The Bible order is that the man is to be the originator of love, and the wife is to be the responder to that love. And most of us has got it backwards. You say, but preacher, how am I to love my wife? Well, there's three ways that we're going to look at it. It's three things, three answers to that part of that question. First of all, you need to love your wives. You're obligated to love your wives as Christ loved the church. What he said in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You say, but that's not possible. Oh, yes, it is, because God wouldn't have put that in the Bible. You see, the word love is present tense there in Ephesians 5:25. It means continuous action, habitual love, love today, love tomorrow, and keep on loving. Now, you see, as we think about that, as far as what the love is, how the Christ loved the church, and that's a model for the husband's love for the wife. And then they'll be in submission to their head. You realize something? And by the way, when we talk about these obligation of the husbands and the obligation of the wives, we'll deal with that question next. When we deal with both of them, even though I'm predominantly speaking to the husband's obligation concerning his wife, realizing something that some of this applies to the wife in obligated to her husband in that sense. So this is thinking about Christ's love for the church. We know that we need to love him like he loved the church. And you realize something, that is a model for our love for our wives. It's a model. The Bible says, his love, what kind of love did he have? Well, his love was sacrifice without complaint. Sacrifice without complaint. You say, what does that mean? Well, in John 10:15, the Bible says this, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. The thieves probably had to be taken by many Roman soldiers to lay them down, but when it came to Jesus, he said, no, I'll lay them down. I'll lay down myself. You don't have to put me down. Why? That's why he came for. And therefore, when he got to the cross, even though he was in pain and agony and just been beaten unmercifully, I guess you could say with whatever, whether it was cat of nine tails or whatever it may have been, his back looked like mincemeat. Isaiah 52 said his visage was so marred, you couldn't have told that he was human as he hung on that cross, and every bone was pulled out of joint. Not broken, but every bone was pulled out of joint. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He demonstrated that love with all the pain and all the agony that he had there. You see, and our love for our wives should be that we're willing to sacrifice. But at times we sacrifice and then we complain. Don't you remember when I dug up that flower garden for you? Or don't you remember this? Or don't you remember when I sacrificed my time for you? Well, you see, when you do something because of love, you never complain. But we unconsciously complain. And when we do, all we do for our wives will be lost in a sense as far as that's concerned. But if you will do this, she'll respond. So let's be honest, and we must demonstrate our love for her. Sacrifice without complaint. Christ's love for the church was also forgiveness without reminder. Now, as we think about what he said when he forgave your sin, he hid your sin as far as the east is from west. He put it behind his back. He also said in Hebrews 10:17, your sins and iniquity do I remember no more. And so whenever I know Peter, he told Peter, he said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows twice. And and as a result, Peter said he wouldn't do that, but yet he did that. And whenever he looked in Jesus' eyes that day at the third time he denied him, the Bible says he wept. And some people would say he repented, and he may have repented in a sense, but we know that in John 21, when he was on the Sea of Galilee, three times he asked him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And those, I believe he was reminded. Now, Jesus, if he had repented, Jesus would not use that to remind him of that, but Peter's own guilt would remind him of it. But I think he was really, there's where his repentance came in John 21, because there he said he was grieved. That's another word for godly sorrow, which works repentance. And so therefore, but if he did repent, and when he denied him the third time, I'll say this, Jesus never reminded him. He forgave and forgot. And the Lord's the only one who can forget. You realize that. The problem is that we sometimes say we'll forgive people and then bring it up several days later. And if we don't, if we realize, if we're not willing to forgive our wives and forget in the sense, now we can't forget like God, but we need to forget in the sense of not letting it influence us or persuade us in the days ahead. I heard a story one time about a wife who had was in the church, her and her husband's in the church, and his pastor said that the wife seemingly was so just so submissive to her husband, so waited on him hand and foot, that he really, she couldn't even do a just job of being the church member she needed to be. And so one day he called her aside and asked her, why is this? Why are you so submissive to your husband? Why is that? She said, well, preachers like this, said back some 15 years ago, said I decided and got infatuated with someone else and run off, and we committed every sin in the book for one night. I realized I was wrong. I realized I'd done wrong, and I was saved at the time. Now, some people who do that, a saved man can do anything a lost man can, but he can't get by with it, so I'll give her the benefit of that. But at any rate, she said she called her husband after and wanted to come back home, and he said, we'll talk about it. And so he, next day, she went back to the house and hid in the bushes waiting for him to come home from work. And when he come home, she knew his routine. And of course, when he knew he was sitting down in his chair or something to rest after the day's work, she knocked on the door like a stranger, and he let her in. And as a result, why, she sat there and began to tell him and weep before him and ask him to forgive her and told him that what she'd done was wrong. And he said to her, the only thing he said to her at that time was, has God forgiven you? And she said, yes, God has forgiven me, but I want you to forgive me for what I've done. And he said to her, she said, preacher, he never said one word, yea nor nay, that he would forgive me or wouldn't, but he said, fix my supper. She said, that's been 15 years ago, and he's never mentioned that one time or brought it up to me one time. Folks, I want to tell you, that's forgiving and that's forgetting. You see, we need to get to the place that we can forgive and forget. Ephesians 4:26 says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. You ought never go to sleep till you've got things settled in the house. And husbands, you need to love your wife as the church. In other words, you need to love him. And that is, of course, sacrifice without complaint, forgiveness without reminder. He's the model, but it's also giving without getting. At the cross of Calvary, Jesus did not say, I'll die if you'll do so and so. He died even if you don't trust him, he still died. In a sense, he would have died just for one. And we need this kind of love for our wives. When we do, you see, many times we do things just to get what we want. And that's not right. You see, we've conditioned our wives to believe that I'll not do something unless we want something in return. For instance, if you bring home some flowers some night and you've not really been doing that, or maybe you've done it some, but yet you've conditioned her, she'll say, what have you done now? You see, the only motive we ought to do something for our wives is because we love them. And that applies in every area of life. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again." You see, our only motive to do something for our wives is, "I love you." And Jesus did that because he loved us on the cross of Calvary, enough to give his life on the cross of Calvary. So he's the model for husbands. We need to love our wives such that as Christ loved the church, and if we will, there'll be gentleness, selflessness without resentment. Selflessness without resentment. In other words, that means not being self-centered. But we're a selfish people. Jesus was selfless. He was church-centered. Now, the male ego usually causes man to think it's a weakness to admit I've got a problem, that a problem exists in their home. Now, we've all got a weakness, folks. You need to be honest about that. But the male ego will cause you to say, "I'm the head. I told her so." But if you've got to tell your wife you're the head, you're probably not. She's the neck. If you've got to tell everybody you're the head, you're not the head, I'll tell you that. And so she's the neck, and you turn wherever she says. Now, she knows when you're the head. She'll respect you when you fulfill your responsibility or your obligation. And you need to be so full of love that you're selfless. In fact, the business, we talk about the word joy. The word joy is Jesus first, others second, yourself last, is the way we teach our children in Sunday school to spell joy, and that applies even to your wife. Jesus first, others second. That's your wife second, and yourself is last. And that is selflessness, if you please. So we see then, as we think about the question today, what obligation does the husband have in the home? He has an obligation to be a lover of his wife. And that is follow the model, the example that God gave through his son to us. And that model was, what he did for the church was sacrifice without complaint, forgiveness without reminder, giving without getting, and selflessness without resentment. Folks, I'll tell you, we need this in our homes today. We need to have a home that will honor and glorify the Lord. And if we'll meet our obligations as head, as husbands, then we can see our wives fall in line, and we can see have a home in which there will be a little honey in the home instead of the other place, if you please. We've got enough of that going on today. And so as a result, these questions, we have a series on the home of many tapes or CDs, several of them, and the whole series that breaks it down bit by bit. Just order them, and we'll be glad to get them to you. They're free of charge. We'd like to help you that you might have a home that would honor and glorify the Lord. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.